Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP. Online at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org under Public Affairs. Good evening, everyone. I am back. I am live in the studio following very safe precautions that WDIY has put forth and enforced. And so everyone here is doing a really good job. I'm sitting in front of plexiglass, but I have my microphone, which will be disinfected afterwards. So we are back, and Lori Catanzaro is in the studio with us this evening. So if you have questions, you can call in and ask questions. We're very excited. That's my favorite part of the show. And we're so glad that we can be back doing Your Financial Choices live. We have been doing pre-recorded shows for several weeks now. So we are happy to be back. Today is June 10th, 2020. The markets were mixed today with the Dow closing down at 26,989, the NASDAQ up at 10,020, and the S&P down at 3,190. And I just kind of looked back in my outlines for numbers that are similar, and I noticed on March 4th, the Dow was at 27,090. The NASDAQ was less. It was 9,018, and the S&P was 3,130. So since March 4th, a couple of those have come back up. So I thought that was interesting. Tonight, we're going to talk about jobs and labor, and it might not seem exactly what you might think it is about, but I know the jobs report had just come out recently, so I thought I would kind of cover that because I thought this is a time when we're probably starting to get a sense or a feel for going back to work or not going back to work. So I thought it would be really interesting to kind of talk a little bit about the jobs report and unemployment and some of those other things. So as I mentioned, we are live and we will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And again, you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Lori and she will write it down and bring it into the studio for me. If you prefer email, you can do that through yourfinancialchoices.com. As I've been mentioning each week prior to this, a big thank you to all the people who have been working so hard in our community to make it safe for us and in preparing for the reopening. So we really appreciate all of the workers out there who are doing that, healthcare and government alike. So thank you. And thank you to our WDIY listeners as well. I wasn't here for the spring drive, but I did my contribution as well. And thank you all for doing that too. Last week, we talked about some important dates and provisions of the CARES Act. So tonight, I wanted to specifically address some of the data around jobs and why we need to reflect on it, and then what else is important to know as people go through work transitions as a direct result of the economic impact of the pandemic. So my hot buttons would be jobs reports, unemployment, taxes, losing or changing a job, cautions on loans, flexible spending accounts, and United Way contributions, and the employer match. So first, from a jobs report perspective from June 5th, the employment situation based on May 2020, and this was from, I believe, the Department of Labor. So, and I'm going to read a little bit of it. So I apologize for reading, but there's just some, you know, specific information I want to make sure we cover. So total non-payroll employment rose by 2.5 million in May, and the unemployment rate declined to 13.3%. And I'm going to address some, you know, people raising their hands saying, wait, I'm going to address that in just a few minutes. So the unemployment rate declined to 13.3%, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported today. These improvements in the labor market reflected a limited resumption of economic activity that had been curtailed in March and April due to the coronavirus pandemic and efforts to contain it. In May, employment rose sharply in leisure and hospitality, construction, education and health services, and retail trade. By contrast, employment in government continued to decline sharply. So that makes sense. In May, leisure and hospitality, construction, educational services kind of employment rose sharply. This news release presents statistics from two monthly surveys. The household survey measures labor force status, including employment, unemployment, by demographic characteristics. The establishment survey measures non-farm employment hours and earnings by industry. So the household survey data, the unemployment rate declined by 1.4 percentage points to 13.3, and the number of unemployed persons fell by 2.1 million to 21 million. So we're still talking some fairly big numbers. Reflecting the effects of the coronavirus pandemic and efforts to contain it, the unemployment rate and the number of unemployed persons are up by 9.8 percentage points and 15.2 million, respectively, since February. If all the potentially misclassified people so there was some suspicion that the jobs report was, manipulated a little bit. I don't know if that's the right word, or the numbers were misclassified. And so there was an article by Ben Castleman of the New York Times on Monday, and he said the unemployment rate and related statistics are based on a monthly survey of only about 60,000 households. And I think normally it's more like 100,000. So there was about 60,000 households. Interviewers who work for the Census Bureau ask respondents a series of questions about their activity the previous week to figure out whether they could count as unemployed, employed, or out of the labor force entirely. When the coronavirus pandemic began, the Bureau of Labor Statistics decided that anyone who wasn't working because of virus-related business closings should count as unemployed, with or without a formal layoff notice. But starting in March, the agency noticed that an unusual number of people were being counted as employed but absent from work. And that was a category meant to reflect vacation, family leave, or other temporary absences. The Bureau estimates that this issue probably affected about 5 million people in May. If all the potentially misclassified people had been counted as unemployed, the jobless rate would have been a point higher in March, 5 points higher in April, and 3 points higher in May. It's worth noting that the May report's other surprising number, a gain of 2.5 million jobs, was based on a separate survey of businesses and was therefore unaffected by the classification issue. It isn't, again, continuing the article from Ben Castleman in the New York Times, and I've only picked certain pieces I wanted to reference. It isn't clear why people are still being misclassified 3 months into the pandemic. The Bureau says it and the Census Bureau are investigating why this misclassification error continues to occur and are taking additional steps to address the issue. But Erica Groshen, a Cornell University economist who ran the Bureau of Labor Statistics under Mr. Obama, said it was not surprising that a survey intended to measure the ordinary fluctuations in the job market might struggle to capture the nuances of a pandemic-driven shutdown of a vast proportion of the economy. So basically, she's not surprised because of the fluctuations, because this is just, extraordinary times. So the pandemic's impact on employment and the nature of that employment has been hard to quantify as a result of the temporary nature and reduction in hours for workers. With the current number at 13.3, it has been projected to be 10% by December and 8% in 2021. So when we come back from our first break here, I will talk a little bit about education level, if I can find the chart that I would like to reference. So if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Operations Director Neil Heaver. Many of the real voices you know at WDIY have been absent this spring as they observe the call to stay home and stay safe. WDIY has continued to provide NPR news and a variety of music during the pandemic. We hope to bring back the many choices and real voices, and plans are in the works to do so cautiously. Please check our website for information about returning hosts. Our best wishes to you and your loved ones, and thank you for listening and supporting us at WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on 88.1. WDIY and podcasts of prior shows are also available at wdiy.org under Public Affairs Programming. We are live this evening, so for the past several weeks we have been recording, and when we found out we had the opportunity to come in, Lori and I jumped right on it and are happy to be back. We're also happy to take your questions. If you have questions, Lori C. is in the studio waiting for your call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Or you can send questions through the email, yourfinancialchoices.com. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and she'll bring it in to me. So one other point I wanted to make, tying kind of the jobs report and unemployment together, was something I had referenced on a show, oh gosh, some time ago, I don't even remember, but I just looked up the numbers for as of May 2020, when we're looking at unemployment rate by educational attainment and age monthly, and age, but it's not seasonally adjusted and it's by month. So, for example, in May of 2019, people who had a doctoral degree, 1% unemployment, professional degree 2.2, master's degree 1.7. So we're talking about very low levels, but the employment still had been, you know, higher than it had been for some time. The because we had been on a trend with our economic expansion and the economy doing well over several years now. Even less than a high school diploma's unemployment rate was 4.4. But you see the disparity there already. Doctoral degree, the higher the degree, the lower the unemployment rate. And May of 2019, 1% for doctoral, 4.4 for less than high school. By April of 2020, doctoral degree was 3.2, and less than a high school diploma was 20.9. And in May of 2020, unemployment rate for a doctoral degree, 3.5, and less than a high school diploma, 18.5. So remember, we said that we saw the unemployment decreasing in May. So that's kind of consistent with those numbers that the jobs report that the Department of Labor put out. But look at that disparity. Doctoral degree, professional degree in April of 2020 was 7%. Bachelor's degree even was 9.4, but less than a high school diploma, 20.9. So when we talk about disparity in our country, education is such an important element in so many ways, in healthcare, in investing, in your retirement planning, in buying homes. Education that can help you get jobs and keep those jobs. So let's keep that in mind. Let's push for education funding. So the numbers don't lie. So that's on the jobs report. So what else I wanted to say about unemployment was, what do you need to know about unemployment? Because people have been maybe laid off temporarily, maybe permanently, but you're going to have some questions about what that's going to look like. So unemployment, we do know that it went from typically, and this is in Pennsylvania, some states have a shorter period of time for unemployment, but Pennsylvania has 26 weeks. And with the federal CARES Act provisions, that unemployment benefit was extended from 26 weeks to 39 weeks. And I do believe in cases where you're in a state where you don't have a benefit of 26 weeks, the federal government was stepping in and helping with to bridge that gap. All right, so we went from 26 weeks to 39 weeks. And then also under the federal pandemic unemployment compensation program, there was an increase in unemployment benefits, again, affected for Americans affected by the 2020 virus. And this includes the extra $600 per week. Many of you heard about that. I've talked about it on the show in prior broadcast. This extra $600 a week is on top of the state unemployment benefit, but that's just through July 31st. So that won't continue beyond July 31st. Now, I will mention, if you were in the middle of applying for unemployment and you're still could be processing it, they are going to make that retroactive. So if you're filing, you know, what are we at, June 9th? Let's say you were filing June 1st because you didn't understand how to do it or you didn't know how to do it. You can put in your first date of unemployment or those reduced hours and they can go back retroactively. Some people might have thought they weren't going to stay unemployed and maybe just never thought about it, or maybe they didn't have a computer. Can you imagine? That could happen too. So, there you still could file for unemployment if you have lost your job, and I believe even for a reduction in hours. And we probably will have the same kind of questions as we reopen and go back to work. I just had a question right before the show about what happens if you're offered your job back, but you may still have reduced hours. You put all that information in your claim for unemployment. Each week you have to refresh your claim and redo your claim, and you need to put that information in there. And I think it depends probably on how much you're going to get paid for those reduced hours. I know that one client was told that even if they got a dollar of unemployment, they would still get that $600 federal benefit. So that would be my guess. That you would still be eligible for that. But sometimes you don't always know how these things pan out until you're actually, you know, in the system and navigating it. But that was my understanding. I want to remind people, too, that unemployment is available to self-employed individuals under the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program. We call it the PUA. So if you have a COVID-related reason for decreased revenue, you can apply under the PUA section of the unemployment compensation site for Pennsylvania, and they can go retroactive on that. So keep that in mind for people who are self-employed. It may not cross your mind, because ordinarily self-employed people are not eligible for unemployment, but it was again under the pandemic unemployment compensation program. So the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, and it's based on your 2019 income. So for self-employed people, you use your Schedule C from 2019, or partners would use probably their partnership return or their K-1 to show their income from 2019, and that's what they would use to base your unemployment benefit on. And again, you have to have a COVID-related reason that your business was impacted. So, for example, photographers or, you know, cleaning people, people who, you know, can't go back into certain businesses, maybe bar owners because your bar is closed, okay? So keep that in mind. Folks, we are talking about jobs and labor and some issues to pay attention to over the next several weeks as we, you know, phase back into working and opening back up. If you have questions, and it doesn't have to be about this topic, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio is committed to our listeners' health and safety during the COVID-19 outbreak. Help us stop coronavirus. Lehigh Valley residents can take these precautions. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. Wear a mask when you go out in public. Stay 6 feet apart of social distance. Feel sick? Contact medical professionals for next steps. For coronavirus updates and information, go to WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are trying to figure out the phone tonight. So we are live. We're hoping to take calls. We apologize for folks who are trying to call in. It is turned over to a service right now, but we're working on it.
It's coming in, but I don't think I can make it.
Okay, we think it's coming in. Lori will just have to write the question down. So we're going to still try this. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And if you have questions, please try again. We appreciate that. So we are talking about jobs and unemployment. And this was big news that I had not heard this before. No one had mentioned this. And I love when clients or listeners share their stories with me, because then I get to share them with you and other people, and then we're all smarter, right? So what I had just heard was that Pennsylvania recently announced that in an effort to mitigate fraud, they're implementing the use of debit cards for the PA unemployment. And I had not known that. Typically, we, you know, people have direct deposit for their unemployment benefits. And from their website, I learned if you have a debit card issued to you by the PA Unemployment Compensation Office, your PA or the PUA benefits payments will resume to those cards beginning June 9th. If you do not currently have an unemployment card issued debit card, you'll be receiving one in the U.S. mail very soon. If you received a U.S. issued, or excuse me, an unemployment compensation, they call it UC. If you received a UC issued debit card but discarded it or lost it, you must contact U.S. Bank ReliaCard for a replacement. And they give a phone number, 888-233-5916. So let me say that again. If you received a UC issued debit card but discarded it or lost it, you must contact U.S. Bank ReliaCard for a replacement at 888-233-5916. Your PUA benefit payments will switch from direct deposit to the UC issued debit cards starting around June 16th until further notice. These changes are necessary to combat potential scam attempts, and all PUA claimants will receive deposits onto debit cards as their payment method until direct deposit payments resume. You will receive additional information via U.S. mail, email, and text. So, sorry I'm giggling, but, you know, we've had so many scams and fraud alerts and things like that, and then we find out that they're going to send additional information via email and text. It's astounding to me. It's astounding. And I think I'm somewhat suspicious as to why the government is wanting to issue all of these payments to folks on debit cards these days. So recall that the stimulus payment, I think we talked about that last week, the stimulus payments that were put on the debit card for about 4 or 5 million people, and a whole swath of people were throwing them in the garbage because they came in plain envelopes. And so people were throwing them away thinking they were scam. They didn't recognize it as anything. And then they found out it was their economic income payment, or better known, the stimulus payment. And now they're doing this with unemployment benefits too. And I had not heard this from any of my clients. So that was news to me about putting unemployment benefits on a debit card. But even for those people who traditionally or currently have been getting them via direct deposit are now going to be switching to a debit card, apparently. Got to be careful with those debit cards. Just be careful with those debit cards. So when I say I'm suspicious, think about it. Do they hope that you'll lose the debit card? Do they hope that you'll forget to use the money left on the debit card? Think about all those gift cards out in the world that, you know, you went to use your gift card and it's a $20 gift card and you spent $19.40 and there's 60 cents left on that debit card and you don't bother spending it. Multiply that times millions of people, and boy, that can add up a little bit. I don't know what's so if they think that's going to help with scams, I guess they're doing what they have to do. So be on the lookout for any changes for your unemployment compensation coming to you via a debit card versus a direct deposit. So as I mentioned, what if you're offered a job back and you don't want to come back? This is similar to if you are offered to come back to work, but maybe on limited hours. So you're not fully employed. I think you can still qualify for unemployment benefits. But what if you are offered your job back and you don't want to go back? Well, you may have reasonable cause for not going back if you have a COVID-related reason, and that will have to be reviewed, all right? So otherwise, if you have no COVID-related reason, then I would assume that you are going to risk losing your unemployment benefits. Makes sense, right? If you don't want to go back to work and you have no other reason, just, you know, you don't want to, then you could risk your unemployment benefits. A lot of folks are thinking, gosh, we have that extra $600 through the end of July. I hope that we don't get called back. And that may be the case. That may work out for a lot of people. But as our businesses are opening up again, we're going to see more people probably having to go back. We had a call from Carolyn in Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn. Thank you for listening. I'm so excited to be back live. This is off air. If she has to apply for unemployment, when? When is the earliest you can apply? Carolyn, you can apply when, you've lost employment. So what happened, it used to be, the old rules were there was a delay. I think you had to be unemployed for at least a week or two. And with the CARES Act, they waived the waiting period. So if you lose your job, I think you can apply right away. All right. I don't know if you would get paid right away, but you can apply right away. So that was a good question. And hopefully, if you're currently employed, that is not something you have to worry about at this time. One of the things that comes with unemployment is income taxes. Many people may not realize that unemployment benefits are taxable for federal purposes. So I want to talk a little bit about that and how that could complicate your situation if you don't have tax withholdings or haven't paid the taxes on that. So when we come back from our halfway point, we will talk about taxes as far as federal benefits, the unemployment being taxable for federal, and We're lucky if we're PA or New Jersey residents because our unemployment benefits are not taxable at the state level for Pennsylvania or New Jersey, but for most states, they are taxable. So we want to make sure that we're paying attention to that and making sure that you have your taxes covered if it applies to you and why you have to kind of pay attention to that. So folks, we are talking about jobs and labor and some things that you have to pay attention to. When we come back from our next break, we'll continue our conversation. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
WDIY Allentown 88.1. I'm Shondi Gray. It's now 6:30. Your current temperature right now is 90 with clear skies. Tonight we're going to have showers and thunderstorms, low around 74. For your Thursday, it's going to be more showers and thunderstorms, high near 85. And for Thursday night, low around 61. And for your Friday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 83. Friday night is going to be clear with a low around 59. And starting your Saturday off, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 78, and Saturday night low around 56. And for your Sunday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 77, and Sunday night low around 60. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi, and welcome back. You are listening to Your Financial Choices, as Shondi just mentioned. We are back. We are live. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can give your question to Lori C. and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio for me. You can also send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. I would also love to hear from listeners as to topics that you may be interested in hearing more about, something maybe that I haven't covered before. I really look forward to bringing guests back eventually over the next couple months. We hope that we can cover some of those topics I had previously planned with guests that we had scheduled. I had some shows scheduled to talk about real estate and talk about trust. So familiar guests like Jim Ruggiero and Dave Elowich, and some new guests like attorney Joe Zader to talk about real estate. So hopefully we'll be able to get them all rescheduled. It might not be until September. We're not sure, but certainly if you have topic ideas, send them my way and I'd be happy to hear about them. We had another caller off air, Miguel from Hellertown, and he is asking a question about collecting unemployment. Direct deposit is possible. Go online and they will ask a card or direct deposit. Also, a card and a PIN come in separate envelopes due to scammers. Miguel, thank you for sharing this. This was good information. So I had not heard about this. So he's mentioning that direct deposit is possible to go online. And when you apply online, it must be that you can ask for the debit card. And that's how it's decided who gets the debit card versus direct deposit. So it's actually the individuals applying. And I suppose there might be people who don't have bank accounts or concerned about depositing the money into the bank account because it might be easier for them to use a debit card. So you can ask for a card at that point. Now, Miguel, I am wondering, though, based on what this said on the Pennsylvania website, if for people who had previously requested direct deposit, if they are, taking that away then. So meaning folks who had direct deposit before are now going to get a debit card. So for people have to watch in the mail for that update, okay? Because I think that is what they are trying to say, is that if you had set up direct deposit before, temporarily they're going to switch it to these debit cards. And then A very important note was that the debit card comes in a separate envelope from the PIN. And that is smart. That's good. That's good to know. I love learning new things. So Miguel, thank you so much for calling in and letting us know that. So folks who had filed for unemployment and may have selected direct deposit, if you didn't hear about this notice, you got to pay attention that you could get notified that you're going to get a debit card and how this could make sense if you're going to get a debit card in a separate envelope from a PIN number. Okay? So thanks, Miguel. Again, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So talking about taxation, so we've already established that unemployment is taxable for federal purposes and that some states do tax unemployment, not Pennsylvania or New Jersey. So from the Tax Foundation, it's called, they explain state taxation of unemployment benefits varies. Of the 41 states that tax wage income, because remember, some states don't have any income tax. Of the 41 states that tax wage income, five states completely exempt unemployment benefits from tax. Only five, and guess what? Pennsylvania is one of them. California, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. They completely exempt unemployment benefits from state taxes. Two states partially exempt a fixed dollar amount of benefits from state income tax, but tax the rest of the benefit, and the remaining states fully tax unemployment benefits. So if you are a resident of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, you don't need to worry about the state tax. If you are of some of these other states, you want to kind of pay attention, make sure you have withholdings. Now, how do you get withholdings on unemployment? You have to complete a W-4V. So if you work, you complete a W-4. If you get government benefits, you complete a W-4V. And for unemployment withholding, there's a box to check for 10%. There's just its own separate little box. It says, check here if you want 10% withheld from your federal unemployment compensation. And that's the box. There's other boxes on that form, but it's relating to other kinds of government benefits like Social Security. It's 7, 10, I think 12, 22 or something. But that's for Social Security. So for unemployment, you can check the box for 10% withholdings. Now, what if you don't check the box? If you don't check the box and you don't have any federal withholding, then you could be in for a surprise come tax time next year. So be careful. It's really something you have to navigate. If you're not working and you got unemployment and you need the money, if you have tax withholdings, it means you have less money for your cash flow. So maybe you decide not to have the tax withheld. Now you're going to make more money, in your take home from that. But then come tax time, if you got your job back in the meantime, 6 months later, you go to file your tax return, or 10 months later, you go to file your tax return for 2020, you kind of forgot you had $10,000 worth of unemployment that you got, and you had no withholdings on it. Well, when that hits your tax return, don't be surprised if now maybe you owe $2,500. I'm making this up, but you have to make sure that you're setting aside some of your unemployment for taxes if you think that you're going to go back to being gainfully employed, or maybe you are married and your spouse still has earnings, so you still might be in a higher tax bracket than what you're having withheld on the unemployment income. So if your spouse is employed and your income together puts you in, maybe a 24% tax bracket, and you had zero withholding on your unemployment, and let's pretend you had $10,000 of unemployment benefits, that would be $2,400 of federal tax. That could be a lot. By next April, you might have spent it all. So you really, really have to be careful, because why it's going to make such a big difference this year as well is because of that extra $600 a week The extra $600 a week times 16 weeks, if you're collecting for 16 weeks, the extra $600 alone is $9,600. Remember, some people are making more on unemployment right now than they are when they're working. And this extra tax could be a bit of a surprise for you. So make sure that you plan accordingly and either fill out the W-4V with the extra 10%, which again, I'm trying to tell you, might not even be enough. Where it might be enough is if you stay unemployed longer or, you know, don't go back to the same kind of a job and you're making less money. So tax planning is going to be so important this year for so many people for the 2020 tax filing, because I expect it's going to look very different for a lot of people. Many people were very fortunate to continue being able to work while it might have been remote. Many people, you know, still could keep their job. But when we're talking about millions and millions and, you know, 15 million people without jobs and collecting unemployment, and it could be more than your normal wages, you want to make sure that you're setting aside some of that money for your taxes. Now, many people have never received unemployment before, so they may not realize all the tax implications, and so hopefully this will help. You also then will receive a tax form next January, beginning of February, notifying you of the taxable benefits that you received in 2020, and that's a Form 1099-G, and it will show your unemployment benefits, and it will also show any withholdings that you had. So you want to make sure that you watch out for that next year before you file your return. Many of us think, oh, we get our W-2, and we go file the tax return. Well, you might have to wait for that 1099-G as well. All right, so I hope that helps. Now I also want to mention about losing or changing jobs and some cautions on that. So again, we've kind of been talking about unemployment and losing jobs, and you want to make sure you're filing for unemployment if it wasn't your fault and, you know, you didn't quit, if you were let go, furloughed, laid off, whatever it might be, make sure you're filing for unemployment. But what else do you have to pay attention to? And I think this is where it gets a little tricky, because this happens so fast that some of us might not have seen it coming and couldn't have planned, because there's some things you have to be aware of. And one of them is flexible spending accounts. So for people who work for an employer that provides the ability for you to put money away into a flexible spending account, and I know that this is what happens with health care. I'm not sure about child care. I should have checked on that. But healthcare flexible spending accounts, these are not the health savings accounts that I'm talking about. The flexible spending account is the one where you say so much out of your payroll every pay period, and it can be up to like $2,500. And you can use it for medical expenses like eyeglasses, dentists, copays, that kind of thing. The flexible spending account. And what happens traditionally is if you say at open enrollment time, I'm going to put $1,200 into my flexible spending account. That's $100 a month. Let's say you get paid monthly. It's $100 a month. That's $1,200. If in January of your, you know, the pay period, you have a medical cost of $1,200, even though you haven't put the $100 in for the month, you know, for the whole year, you haven't accumulated $1,200. How these programs work is you can still spend your $1,200 in January, even if you haven't accumulated it. Well, if you leave that job and you didn't accumulate that much, the employer's out that money. That's why some employers don't have flexible spending accounts. On the flip side, if you leave your job in December and you've put $100 a month away, and now you've built up your flexible spending account of $1,200, thinking you're going to spend it all in December. You wait to do your dental appointments and your eyeglasses and all of that, and you wait to do it in December, but you leave your job November 30th, and you didn't substantiate your medical expenses up to that time, you're out of luck. You've lost that money. The money goes back to the employer. There's no, you know, waiver of that. There's no grace period for that kind of flexible spending account. It's gone. So when you leave your employer or you lose your job, you have to have had spent your flexible spending account money, or it reverts back to the employer. The only exception to that is if you continue COBRA coverage. So if you continue health insurance coverage through COBRA, through your employer, then you still can spend the flexible spending account money. But if you leave and you forgot about that, you just left all that money on the table. And that risk is yours. And that's probably what helps cover the employees who leave early who didn't accumulate enough. So that's one of the cautions. And we could see that happening right now, because you could have been laid off or lost your job and not realize that this was an issue. So my new advice or recommendation is going to be, make sure you spend your flexible spending account money right at the beginning of the year. Don't wait till the last minute. Folks, we're at the last part of the show. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about jobs and labor and some cautions. One other caution regarding, losing jobs, unemployment. Shandi just reminded me of this. We talked about it, I think, last week about the stimulus payment, how that had been put on a debit card for some people, and a lot of people threw them away. They came back out and said that they won't charge you to replace them because there's a fee for replacing those debit cards, and they realized it probably wasn't very smart to send them out in plain envelopes with not enough description. It looked like a scam, so people threw them away. So they are replacing them at no fee at this time. I am not sure what would happen if you had the direct the debit card for the unemployment, if they are going to charge you if you threw away the debit card for your unemployment benefit. So be mindful of that and maybe share your story with friends and neighbors so that they know, don't throw away those debit cards. But as I cautioned with the stimulus payments, still be extra cautious and make sure it all seems legit, because you never know where the next scam is coming. So be careful with the debit cards, folks. Traditionally, I don't use a debit card, just so y'all know that I get very nervous about debit cards that are tied to your bank account, where someone could, you know, get your debit card and kind of wipe it out if it's tied to your bank account. I think that could be a cause of concern. Credit cards are so easy to use these days, and there's fraud alerts on them. You can get, they monitor them. You can get a call. They say, hey, did you just try to use your credit card at, you know, the local hardware store? And you say no, and they can stop it and issue you a new card. So that's the reason I like credit cards, and they're And you don't have to pay that back. Sometimes on debit cards, I think it's your responsibility. So I know the stimulus payments and the unemployment benefits are different than that, but cautions on debit cards make me very nervous. Some other things to be careful of if losing or changing a job. So I've mentioned the flexible spending account. Another reason why you want to try to spend your flexible spending account earlier in the year. I'll make sure I go home and tell my husband we better spend the flexible spending account sooner than later. And again, that's if you don't continue the COBRA coverage. 401k loans. I talked about this, I think, a little bit last week. Outside of the special provisions for COVID-19 related loans, because there are people who were allowed to take loans from 401ks, if they had a COVID-related distribution, it was called, or a COVID-related reason for the loan. If you don't have that and you have a loan on your 401k plan, that would get accelerated and treated as a distribution from your 401k plan. And if you're under age 59 and a half or under age 55, if you've terminated employment, that loan will be considered a distribution and subject to not only the tax, but also a 10% penalty. You want to make sure that you're very careful in taking loans from 401k plans. Again, if it's a COVID-related reason, there are special provisions around that. They give you more time to pay them back, and they give you more time to reestablish the amount that you took out as a loan if it was COVID-related. So be careful of what kind of 401k loan you have, and if you lose your job or change jobs, that loan will come due. Because how do you pay your loan when you take a loan on your 401k? Maybe you bought a new house and you took a loan on your 401k. You pay that back through payroll deduction. So if you lose your job, you don't have payroll deduction any longer, and that loan would become due. And sometimes the employer will let you put the money back in. But if you can't put the money back in, then you have to, they will treat it as a distribution and subject to a 10% penalty and tax. Another item that came up, and this was just very at the forefront of my mind because my husband just switched jobs and went to a new job. And he had made a pledge to the United Way through a campaign, an employer campaign at his work, and said he was going to do so much per paycheck to the United Way. And we're very committed to the United Way. For folks who don't know that, I'm the president of Women United, which is an affinity group of United Way for philanthropic women. And some employers do employer matches to their employees. And we wanted to make sure that we're fulfilling our pledge. And when he left his current position, he did not make sure that that was fully fulfilled. So because it wasn't fully fulfilled, I did call the United Way and ask if I could kind of finish that commitment that we had made, because that might be something that you're not thinking about, but you could be philanthropic and want to make sure that you're still supporting the organizations that mean so much to you, and doing it through the United Way could be one of those ways that you've done that and you kind of forget about it. And if you go to a new employer who doesn't do direct withdrawal or from your paycheck, then you might miss fulfilling that commitment that you made. All right, so be careful of that. Another thing I've been hearing from clients is that the employer match has been reduced for some of our clients. And depending on who your employer is, and there has been a bit of an increase, and this has happened before in the past, and it seemed from studies that I read that quite often the employers will reduce the employer match that they're providing as a benefit rather than, you know, have to close down their business because they can't afford all these extra expenses. They just reduce the 401k match from the employer side temporarily. They They don't do it indefinitely. So you might see where an employer has reduced the employer match. And what that means is if you work for an employer that provides a 401k plan through your work and you put money away on a pre-tax basis, maybe on a Roth, if you have a Roth feature in your 401k plan, you're putting away money through payroll deduction into an employer plan in saving for your retirement future, 401k, 403b. The employer sometimes incentivize their employees to save for their retirement by saying, if you put in X percent, we will match it. Maybe if you put in 6, we'll put in 3, or maybe they put in 3 if you put in 3, maybe they put in 4.5, whatever it might be. It's called the employer match. And they might temporarily suspend that because of, you know, the COVID-related closings and, you know, impact to the business. So I realized that employees may have done the same thing. In fact, I think I might have mentioned it in one of the shows where if you are short on cash, maybe one spouse might have lost their job or were furloughed or laid off or had a reduction in hours, and another spouse might still be working if you have a spouse. So one way to increase the cash flow might have been to reduce the 401k contributions that you were doing. Maybe you yourself thought, oh, I'll only just do this temporarily. You want to remember to set that back if you did temporarily reduce your employee contributions. You don't want to miss out on employer contributions. So it might not have mattered if the employer also reduced the match, but if they did not reduce the match, you just did for temporary reasons for cash flow. If things are looking up, you're back to work, your hours are back increased, then you want to make sure that you go revisit your 401k and how much you're contributing so you don't lose out on any of the match. And even if you don't get a match, you still might want to do that as long as your cash flow allows for that. You might still want to make those contributions to the 401k for your future retirement. And, you know, during this, the past, you know, several weeks, the market had such volatility. There might have been times where you were putting in automatically when the market was down, and that could end up benefiting you in the future. Another reminder that sometimes when we're away from work, people I notice tend to look at their retirement accounts, really not often enough, but if they do, quite often they're doing it while they're at work. It's kind of a reminder when they're at work. They may be talking to a colleague or a fellow employee, and they get talking about their retirement account or their retirement planning, and they log in when they're at work and look at their retirement accounts. And since we've been away, you may not be thinking about that. This could be a very important time to review where you are in your 401k or your 403b and how you're allocated. How did you weather this storm? Were you nervous? Could you sleep at night? It might be time to review your risk tolerance to see if you need to adjust anything. Maybe you're someone who's getting closer to retirement. Maybe you're just a year away. Maybe you've been very aggressive all these years, and it could have been, you know, you could have been hanging on by your fingernails for the last several weeks, and now the market has come back quite strong. Not sure if it's going to stay where it is, but it's come back quite strong, and it could be a good opportunity for you to revisit your asset allocation at this time and your risk tolerance and how much you can tolerate. But rebalancing is very, very important. It's a good time maybe to do that, to revisit rebalancing and your diversification as well. All right. So I hope that those little ideas helped tonight some folks. I appreciate the people who called in and gave us some ideas. Miguel and Carolyn, thank you for calling in with your questions as well. When we talk about topics for your financial choices. We do try to bring information that's going to be important to our listeners and that's beneficial and that kind of can help a broad spectrum of people in our Lehigh Valley community. So I hope that it helps a little bit talking about unemployment and some of the benefits and things that you have to pay attention to as far as the tax withholdings and the debit cards that may be coming. It's hard to pay attention to all the information that is out there and all of the changes in the programs that have been available for people through the federal government and the state that you kind of have to keep on top of so much. I know that I am finding it difficult to keep on top of all of it as well. Next week, I didn't plan anything in particular. I think I will just give you more updates. I'll just call it a potpourri show. So a potpourri, and hopefully listeners will let everyone know that we're back live and that we're taking calls and questions. I would love to take listeners' questions next week. So we'll do a little bit of that. Listeners' questions and a potpourri of topics. That's what we'll do. I see Tom Druckenmiller is back in the studio. Very excited to see Tom back. And so he'll be following up within the tradition folk music. I want to thank Shondi for being here every week. Thank you so much, Shondi, and Lori C for coming in too. Again, we're all taking precautions. Please be careful out there, folks. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.